give you a little quick update before I have you turn in scriptures. As Pastor Stephen said, yes, this has been a lot of disruption to world missions as far as to missionaries, but it's not been a disruption to God or His Word. And you understand this is God's Word, right? You have a copy of God's Word? You have a whole copy? Are you thankful that you have a Bible? And we were here. It was the first Sunday in January, and right after the service, I took off and headed to basically Springfield, Missouri. We loaded a container of scripture, and although the restrictions and such have prevented me from going overseas, it has not prevented us from sending God's Word overseas. In the last 6 months, we have been able, I guess 7 months now, we've been able to send six containers of scripture over to Southeast Asia, and they have been faithful to get the Word of God out. And Thailand just went back into a shutdown, and I was making plans in preparation. Actually, I was making plans in preparation to leave right after this to go to Africa. I've had zero desire ever to go to Africa, but the Lord opened up a door. And a missionary friend of mine said, "Now, can you go to Asia?" And I said, "No, I can't as of yet." He says, "Well, you can come to Nigeria." He goes, "I guess maybe God would have you come to Nigeria, so much so that He gave the world a virus so that you can't go where He called you to." And I said, "That's not fair." And anyway, I started making plans for that. But the problem is there's only one embassy in the States now processing visas for that. And when I called them up, they said, "Sir, we could not get you in until July." I called him back and I said, "God does not want me to come to Nigeria." And he says, "Did you schedule the appointment? Because we can do this conference again." And so anyway, y'all pray for us. We're working to make plans for that. And I have no desire. I want to be a help and a blessing. But maybe this will be my one and only trip to Africa. Because Brother T-Vault, I like Asia. Yeah, thank you very much. And we are working and making plans to expand the work of Best Missions. For those of you that don't know what we do, we work with a Bible publication and distribution ministry, and then we do education and training for national pastors. And may I say this, if anything COVID has taught us, it is the importance of the need to train nationals even more so. Right? And I will say this, and I'll be kind when I say this. Brother T-Volt's here. He retired. Where's he from originally? Evansville, Indiana. So when he retired, where did he come back to? Evansville, Indiana. But guess what he did while he was in the Philippines? He trained men to replace him. And that's what you've got to do. Hey, your pastor does a great job, does he not? Can I shock you with this? He's an interim. Now, I hope that he is a long-term interim, but the reality is somebody came before him and somebody will come after him if the Lord tarries. And that's why it's important for us to train the next generation. And so just be in prayer for us if you would. And cell phones, I charge $5 to the work of Best Missions for cell phones. And I'm teasing. I'm used to preaching in Asia, so I can preach through distractions. It won't bother me. If you have your Bibles, if you would, take and open it anywhere. It's all good. Amen. Just seeing if you're awake tonight. Take and open to Philippians chapter number 4, if you would. Philippians chapter number 4. Do pray for us. As I said, Thailand has gone back into a shutdown. That means I will not be allowed to go over this summer. And so, but again, the great thing about our ministry is we have a lot of national men that take care of things. So we're continuing to get the scriptures out. And all it has done is put more pressure on me to work to put together the education and training materials that they need. And so I've really kind of transitioned somewhat during this time into a writing ministry. And I thank the Lord for that. But and I thank the Lord that that God didn't just put Paul on a shelf, but he transitioned Paul into a writing ministry. Otherwise, you wouldn't have, or God would have used someone else to write half of the New Testament. But I want to be a help to you tonight. It is Mother's Day, is it not? How many moms are still here tonight? How many of you are here because of a mom? I hope everybody raises your hand. Amen? And I would have to say probably one of the most blessed people group in the world are mothers. Would you agree with me, moms, with that statement? I mean, after all, Proverbs 31, Brother Curvis taught it in Sunday school, her children rise up and call her blessed or blessed. Could I say one of the most stressed people groups in the world is moms? Would you moms agree with me on that? You know, the reality is this last year has put a lot of stress on a lot of people. Do you know God did not intend for us to live stressed? He would rather us live blessed. And you know, God gave us in His Word a scripture, a verse that gives us a formula for God's stress relief. Did you know that? You know, our third daughter is studying massage therapy, and she'll graduate in July and be a licensed massage therapist. You know, and I didn't know much about it, but you know, that's a very big thing now. Why is that? It's because we live with so many people who are stressed, and they're looking for ways to relieve that stress. I want to help you tonight through God's Word. If you have Philippians chapter number 4, look with me if you would, verse number 1. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he says there in verse number 1, therefore, chapter 4, verse number 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. But notice verse number 6. Here is the formula. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here is the result, verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and, what? Minds through Christ Jesus. I want to speak to you tonight on that subject, God's stress relief. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus coming and being an example for all of us. Lord, thank you for your prayer in John chapter 17, where you said that you have given them your word. And Lord, we have your word here tonight. Lord, in John 17, you reminded those that were listening, the disciples, that they were not of this world, just as you are not of this world. Lord, we sing so many times, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But yet, Lord, we allow this world to cause so much stress in our life. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight. Help me tonight to sanctify them through thy truth. Lord, thy word is truth. And so, Lord, use your word tonight to be a help to these, your dear people. Lord, many I know, many I don't know. Father, if they are saved, then they are your children, and you are our Father. And how much do you care for us as our Heavenly Father? And so, Lord, please help us tonight, for we are needy people. We'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You know, the reality is I like to do a lot of things of going back to the beginning. If you go back to the beginning of time, of the beginning of man, the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and you look and realize some things, we were not created to be stressed out beings. Are you with me tonight? You understand? You understand and realize that we were created in God's image. And I don't find in Scripture where God's up in heaven wringing his hands, worrying about what's going on. Hey, can I encourage you tonight? God's in control. God knows everything that's taking place. There's nothing catching God by surprise. And God's not up in heaven wringing his hands, worried about the U.S. economy or what the government's going to do or what the world's doing. Hey, listen, God's in control. God knows everything. God knows what's taking place. We've got to stop and remind ourselves that we were created in his image. And if God's not up in heaven wringing his hands, then we've got to, as created beings in his image, we've got to realize that God did not create us to be stressed, wringing our hands and worrying about that. We've got to realize that God created us to enjoy his creation. You know, he created everything, then he put man there and basically told man to enjoy. Hey, you know, that's why we ought to enjoy. That's why I am thankful that your pastor goes hunting. You know why? He is enjoying God's creation. Hey, it'd do all of us some good to turn off the phone and turn off the social media and turn off the television. Yeah, amen. I was going to be kind and not call it the hellavision. Hey, I could reduce your stress load by 50%. Just don't watch the news. Spend more time giving good news than listening to bad news. So they never tell you good news. But if we turn off the television, we get out into nature. You can listen to the birds sing. You can, boy, man, listen to the dogs bark and the cats meow and all the things that go with that. And realize that creation testifies of our Father, according to the book of Romans. And God created us in his image. And don't get excited when I say 1, 2, 3, 4. This is just introduction. I figure if your pastor can preach 35 minutes on Mother's Day Sunday morning, I'm pretty safe with that tonight. But we are created in God's image. We are created to enjoy God's creation. We are created to do some work for God. You know, God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, and he placed him there to dress it and to keep it. The reality is, if you're here and you're saved, God has something that he wants you to do for him, for his honor, for his glory. So much so that when you got saved, he gave you a grace gift or a spiritual gift to help you or enable you to do that which he would have you to do. Listen, God's no respecter of persons, and if he'll put Adam in the Garden of Eden and give him a job to do, he's placed us here at this time for such a time as this and given us a job to do. That's what we were created. Number four, we were created to be or to do more or to bring more glory to God. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. How many of you enjoyed a nice Mother's Day meal? How many of you mothers are thankful that your husbands only cook one meal a year? Huh? But the reality is you didn't take a bite and say, glory to God, amen. Eat that bite, take another bite. Glory to God, amen. But the Bible says, whatsoever you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. The reality is every part of our being, every fiber in our body ought to ooze giving glory to God. That's why we were created. And if you would look with me, if you would, back to verse number 6, I hate that Christians live so, as I say, wringing their hands and worry. And I'm going to be kind tonight. I'll be careful and try and be kind tonight. But, you know, getting old's not for sissies, right? But it seems like we say so many things when we're younger than when we get older. It's like we don't even listen to what we said when we were younger. Are y'all with me tonight? Because it seems that as the older we get, the more we worry about our health and things that are taking place when we, I'm doing it at my age. So, and by the way, these gray hairs didn't get here because I colored them in. I am getting older, and it is not fun getting older. Getting older is not for sissies. Can I get a witness? Yeah. But the reality is, are you saved tonight? Okay, about five of you are. Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you saved tonight? Amen. Okay, then can I remind you, heaven is our home. Can I remind you, there's not a one of us getting out of this earth alive. I hate to be a Debbie Downer, and sorry, Miss Debbie. I didn't think about that before I said that. But the reality is, and I'm not being unkind, we're not leaving this world alive. There's an appointment coming to every single one of us, if the Lord tarries. But wait a minute. Do you know what's after that? You know, so many times when I pastored, we would do a funeral, I would say, you know, the reality is, if so-and-so would not trade places with us now, they would not want to come back if they could. And we are so scared to death of dying that we forget a lot of what we taught when we were younger. We're stressed about it. Listen, I hope that when my time's come, I'm not looking to go on the next turnip truckload. But if my appointment is tonight, I'm going to heaven. And I would much rather go giving God glory and being a good testimony than being stressed to where people look and say, I thought he was always talking about heaven. He seems to be pretty nervous about going there. I have not attained to this, so please don't think that I have. But Charles Haddon Spurgeon, I love to read Spurgeon. Spurgeon said he wanted to die. He prayed the rapture would not take place in his lifetime because he wanted to die. And someone asked him about that, and he said, I want to experience everything my Savior experienced, and my Savior tasted death for me. I'm not that spiritually mature. I just soon see the upper taker as the undertaker. But the reality is, I'm still saved regardless. Amen. All right? And so may I help us tonight, young and old, why do we live so stressed when God has given us his stress relief? Look with me, if you would, in verse number 6. The first thing is, and it's easy to say, it's hard to do, but the first thing is worry about nothing. Notice in verse number 6, it says, be careful for nothing. That word careful means anxious, means worried, or anxious. It comes from anxiety. And we live in a world where people have so much anxiety. When the Bible says, be anxious or anxiety for nothing, why is that? It's because we worry. Hey, worry about nothing. Worry is the opposite of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You do understand that. And I would think that if you being here tonight, you would have a desire to want to please God. Would you do me a favor and hold Philippians chapter number 4 and turn over to Matthew chapter number 6. I want to show you just a few things this evening to help you tonight. But worry, can I say this? Worry is just wasted time, folks. Worry is just wasted time. Now, listen, it's like one preacher said, worry is like rocking in a rocking chair. It'll keep you busy, but it won't get you nowhere. And the reality is worry keeps a lot of people busy, but it doesn't get us anywhere. Look with me at Matthew chapter number 6. Look down at verse number 25. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 25. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you. Now notice this next phrase. Take no thought. You see that phrase, take no thought? It is basically saying, do not worry. Do not worry. Why are you worried? Take no thought. Do not worry for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Notice the question now, are ye not much better than they? How many of you realize you're of more value than the fowls of the air to our heavenly Father? And God takes care of them, how much more does God want to take care of us as our Heavenly Father? Look in verse number 27. He asks the question again. Which of you, now notice this, by taking thought All right? And again, I'm paraphrasing, right, going back, but that taking thoughts, talking about worry. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit unto his stature? What have you ever accomplished by worrying? That's basically what he's saying. Keep reading, verse number 28. And why take ye thought, or why worry for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like in one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Your pastor talked about detoxing. I'm glad to hear that he's taking care of his body at a young age. Amen. And I have eaten in so many almonds, I feel like I sprout leaves as well. Miss Hall started to do the same thing for me a while back. We were on deputation and in churches. And you know what churches like to do when you go for a meeting? Feed you. You know what churches like to do when you're there for a missions conference? Feed you. And we were eating and enjoying the food and eating and enjoying the food. Pretty soon, I started noticing things didn't fit quite right. I went to my wife and I said, hey, I need to get some suits. And she said, oh, we can't afford for you to get any suits. She said, you need to go on a diet. And I dropped some weight. Matter of fact, my doctor told me I needed to for my blood pressure to come down. And so I started doing that to the point that I lost weight that those suits didn't fit anymore. And I told her, I said, now look, I said, I gained weight and you said I couldn't get suits because, we didn't have the money and I'm losing weight and these suits aren't fitting. And she said, I guess you better pray for some. Do you know, this is a nice Joseph A. Banks suit. Do you know what my wife likes to do? She likes to go to Goodwill. Yeah. You know where she found this? Goodwill. Here I am. Lord, I got to have a suit that fits. And my wife, right off the rack, no alterations needed. Huh. I'd hate to think somebody here would be too prideful. God provide for you in a manner like that. You say, oh, no, I just... Boy, it gets quiet right there, doesn't it? You want me to go back to stress, don't you? Yeah. But the reality is God does provide for us in so many ways that we don't comprehend, but because of our pride, we want to provide for ourselves. I don't know about you, but it's pretty fun just to sit at the Lord's table and see what he's going to do next. Amen. Yeah, amen. But keep reading. Look in Matthew chapter number 6. He says in verse number 31, Therefore take no thought, or don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, where then shall we clothe? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of how many of these things? All these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Quit worrying about tomorrow, is what Jesus is saying. What is he saying? For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Lord says, you don't know that you got tomorrow. So just realize what I do for you today. Everybody's already tomorrow. You haven't got to tomorrow, folks. So just live in the moment and enjoy what God's doing today. Worry about nothing. It's easy to say and it's hard to live. Can I give you a statement? I'm going to give it to you whether you give me permission or not. Worry is thinking that God won't get it right. I'm going to say that again. Worry is thinking that God won't get it right. Now, can I go a little beyond that? Bitterness is believing God got it wrong. Worry is thinking God won't get it right. Bitterness is believing God got it wrong. Folks, God does nothing wrong. God gets nothing wrong. We get bitter because we forget Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called the according to his purpose. It may not be our good, but it is for his good and it is for his glory. Can I ask you a question? And I'll move on in just a moment. But would you say cancer is a good thing? No, I wouldn't either. My mom got cancer several years back. And she had to go for her chemo treatments, and a lady in her church began taking her, and they had the same nurse, and the same lady from the church would go. And after a few trips, they began talking to the nurse, witnessing to her. And long story short, that nurse got saved. And after my mother kind of digested all of that, my mom said, you know, God may have given me cancer so that that nurse could know what salvation truly is. You know, Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? We like the last part of that verse, but the first part of that verse is a reminder that God didn't spare his only begotten son for you and I. We get upset when God puts us through suffering and we worry about it, yet we forget God may have a plan and a purpose. God does have a plan and a purpose. And we've got to stop worrying. Why? Because God's in control. And God's got it covered. And if we'll just take one more step and trust him, one more step and trust him. I like that the Bible talks about walking with God and doesn't say leaping tall buildings in a single bound with God, because I can't do that. But I can take one more step. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. Stop worrying. But in everything. Now, y'all help me out. I'm from Georgia. But what does that exclude? Nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Number two, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. You know, that's what the Bible says. In everything, by prayer and supplication. You know how to stop worrying? Pray about everything. You know, the Bible talks about praying without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, it says to pray without ceasing. Now, ladies, you can relate to this. Ladies, you understand that if you're going to prepare a meal, not on Mother's Day, right? Because that's the dad's job. And you're glad for tomorrow to come when you get back in the kitchen. But you got the stovetop there, and you usually have four eyes on the stovetop. Now, how many of you ladies have more than one thing going on the stove at a time? Can I get a witness? Huh? Yeah? And you got things going on, and then you got the kids, and you got the husband. And what do? You stir a little bit here in this pan, then you stir a little bit over in this pan. And you know, and whichever one, you can kind of tell by listening to the water boiling, and you know what to do. And you give it a little bit of attention, then you give it a little bit of attention and everything. That's praying without ceasing. See, you can cook without ceasing. Why can't we pray without ceasing? Well, give the job a little bit of attention. You pray on the job. Can I help you tonight? I hope I'm not losing you. The devil cannot read your mind. God knows everything. Guess who can read your mind? God can. I know that you're going to think I'm the strange, but you know, the verse 7 says that the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. God knows your mind. You know, you can be working the job and in your mind be going, you know, Lord, I really need your help with this. And guess what? God knows your mind. This may sound strange to you, but I do a lot of mind praying. You know why? Because I'm around people a lot. And I'm like, Lord, help me not to embarrass Brother Stephen. He's given me his pulpit, you know. You'd be amazed at what preachers think when they're sitting there in the song services going, oh, we're thinking about the music. No, we're sitting there thinking, Lord, please don't let me embarrass the pastor. Please let me be a help to the people. In your mind, but I'm not on my knees going, oh, God, please don't let me. No, God knows my mind. Some of y'all are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. The devil cannot read your mind. Stop thinking that the devil can. God can, though. As long as there are tests in school, there will be prayer in school. Kids may not verbalize their prayers, but it doesn't mean they're not praying in their mind. You know, the reality is you can pray about everything, and you can pray without ceasing. Turn off the talk radio. Turn off the talk radio. All it's going to do is add to the worry. Spend more time talking to Him. You know, the reality is you can talk to God like I'm talking to you. The Bible says, let us come boldly before the throne. You know, the Bible says there in John chapter 17, I looked it up this afternoon, the disciples were there. The Bible says Jesus just lifted up his eyes, began to talk to the Father as if, hey, Father, how you doing? I thank you for these. I didn't say boy, but I thank you for these whom thou hast given me. We, if we're not careful, you're going to over-spiritualize prayer to the point that you never do it. Prayer is just communicating with our Heavenly Father. I've heard it said prayer is asking and receiving. But may I say this? Boy, I want to be careful and give no disrespect to who said that. But prayer is much more than asking and receiving. If all the relationship I had with my wife was me constantly asking of her to receive things from her, it would be a pretty poor relationship. But if I just want to communicate with her because I love her and I like talking to her and being with her, you know, it goes a much better relationship. And the reality is a lot of Christians don't pray without ceasing because your sins have separated you from the Father. And you don't want to deal with the sin in your life. You like your pastor, don't you? You enjoy when he preaches. Yeah. I want to help you tonight not to walk out being so stressed this next week. Worry about nothing. God's in control. Number two, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. Number three, and I'll be done. This is the last. Usually I get an amen. Now look, Brother T-Vault, he'll tell you, we can preach in Asia 2 hours at a time at the drop of a hat. So if you want me to keep going, I'll keep going. Okay, thank you. This is the last point. Number one, pray about or worry about nothing. Number two, pray about everything. And number three, in everything, give thanks. Be thankful for anything and everything. Notice what it says in verse number six. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what?
Thanksgiving.
Let your request be made known unto God. With thanksgiving. Are you thankful that you're saved tonight? Are you thankful that God put a roof over your head? Are you thankful that God puts clothes on your backs? Are you thankful that God put food in your belly? Are you thankful that you have a beautiful facility here to worship the Lord in? Yeah. Are you thankful that you have padded pews, padded seats to sit on? Are you thankful that you have air conditioning in the summer and heat in the winter? Brother T-Vault and I can take you to a lot of places. Brother McQuarrie can take you to a lot of places in Myanmar. They don't have everything that we just said. My first trip to Asia in January, the low was 60 in January. I was burning up. They were freezing to death. I wanted them to turn the fans on. The pastor looked at me and he says, Brother Hall, my people are freezing. Do you see them wearing parkas? He says, I think you can suffer a little bit. He had a cold. They're baptismal service. They don't have baptistry heaters. Water was ice cold. He stepped into it and he goes, oh, this is going to... I said, Pastor, I'll baptize for you if the church will give me the authority. He says, are you serious? I said, it's a heart attack. He says, come on. He said, church, y'all good with that? Amen. Come on. I like to dove from this side over. He says, no, come around. I got it. You know, it sounds bad, but before I baptized, I dunked myself. That's how hot I was. But you know what? That's in every week. That was January. That's in their winter. I've been there in their summer. Drenched. And you learn to suffer through it. And you come back to the States, and please, I mean no unkindness, but come back to the States and somebody's bending the pastor's ear because it's 5 degrees too cold or 5 degrees too warm. The sin of ingratitude caused the children of Israel to murmur and complain. And that's what caused the children of Israel to lose a lot of blessings. Psalm 100 talks about coming into his gates with thanksgiving. We've got to learn to be thankful for every little thing that God does. You know why we get so stressed? It's because we don't count our blessings and name them one by one. How does it go? Then it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. God has been so good to us, folks. Please, please don't live life wringing your hands and worrying. Worry about nothing. That takes practice. It takes reminding yourself God's in control, that he knows what he's doing. Then it takes praying about everything. Why worry? Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. Now you know why Brother Ed won't let me sing with the old-fashioned quartet. Love you, Brother Ed. And then stop and say, Lord, I have so much to thank you for. So much to thank you for. Verse number 7 says, and. If we'll follow this pattern, this formula, verse number 6, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's when you'll have people, they'll be looking at what you're going through in life and they'll be saying, how can you be so calm? My God's in control. Your God's in control. My God's in control. Who is your God? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he can help you too. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, there is no peace that will come unless you trust Christ as your Savior. I hope that you will tonight if you're not saved. I hope if you are saved that you'll realize your Heavenly Father loves you and he cares for you. And he does not desire for you to live the Christian life stressed, worrying. Worry about nothing. Trust him. Pray about everything. And then thank him for everything. Heavenly Father,